You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Back with you on a Tuesday. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend as we get set to go for the final week of the month of May. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette, joining me across the table. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass, our producer. How many times will I call it Monday today? That is the question. We're off to a great start, though. I've said Tuesday twice, so that is very, very good news. Hope you had a great and safe Memorial Day weekend as well. Lots of things to talk about. We'll talk about the weekend that was in the world of sports. A little bit of baseball we will get to as well, and more coming up on this Monday. There it is. There's one. Isaac, there's one. On this Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here at 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM or 106.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. I'm back, somewhat refreshed and ready to go. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. Good afternoon, Scott, Isaac, everyone out there. And I was about to say I was very proud of you, but now I'm looking for the dry erase board to write Tuesday.
Tuesday. Should have had it up in big, bold letters across the top of the studio. I don't know. But, hey, that's the nature of the beast out there. How was your Memorial Day, Isaac?
It was good. We were up in Minneapolis for the weekend. So, yeah, it was a fun time.
Nice. Very good.
Went and saw the Timberwolves game 3. So, it was fun.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, it was a good time. And I don't want to say it's because of me, but the one game the Timberwolves have won in that series was the game I was in attendance for. So
they need to bring you aboard for the rest of the series, then?
Yeah, if you're a Timberwolves fan, I'll let you know my Venmo if you want to help me get to OKC.
You got to see point of minute Luka Garza.
Yeah, I did. I did indeed.
Yeah, 38 points in 37 minutes.
Yeah, something like
for
that.
For Luka through the playoffs. Been there too much, but when he's been in there, he's been effective.
I was actually sitting next to someone who is a current student at the University of Iowa, and we were going crazy when Luka got in and started scoring, the game was well in hand, obviously. It was a 40-point game or whatever, but we were cheering for Luka.
Yeah, that thing got out of hand in a hurry.
You could say it was out of hand in first quarter. They almost got up by 20 in the first quarter.
Yeah, and more basketball coming up later on this week. We got the Cubs and the Rockies coming up tonight for you from Chicago. And so we got some baseball and some basketball. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, weigh in on any of the subjects you're going to be hearing on the program here today. Again, 319-366-1600. Also want to remind everyone that you can hear our podcasts, not only of our program, but Spencer on Sports, the Todd Brommelkamp Show as well. They are available on our website as well, kgymradio.com, or you can go to Apple or Spotify. So if you're working out, you're mowing the lawn, whatever trips your trigger, and you want to listen to some great local sports talk, you can dial it up, and we encourage you to do so. 319-366-1600. I say I'm refreshed. I'm gaining refreshing. I know that's bad English, but
I want to hear about Indianapolis.
Indianapolis was a culmination of one of the strangest months that they have had in a long time in Indianapolis. Let's start with the race. It was incredible. It was first sellout in 9 years since the 100th. Now, when you get 350,000 to 375,000 people there, and when they say sellout, well,
there's not a whole lot of difference between 320,000 people and 370,000 people. There's a lot of people there. Let me just say that right out of the chute.
And a couple of helicopters.
We will get to that. We will get to that here in a moment. But, yeah, it was a great, I think a very good, maybe I think a lot of people were, a couple observations. Number one, about the race. Everybody was very, very into the race this year. I mean, we get there, we pull in at 6:30 to where we go park, and you got to have a plan, by the way. 6:30, and by 9 o'clock, most everybody was out of there and either in or on their way to the racetrack, which was a lot earlier this year than in other years. So I'm not sure exactly what that happened, a lot of anticipation. You had Pelot, you had the Penske guys in the back, you had a lot of incidents this month of hitting the wall, you had Kyle Larson in there as well. For whatever reason, everybody was in there early this year. So kudos to them. They listened to the Indiana State Patrol and everybody telling them to get there early and get in. So that's exactly what happened. To the race itself, I wish we could get good weather. We had, it wasn't really a shower. It was more like a somewhat sprinkly mist at times that stopped the race on a couple occasions, started at, 20, 25 minutes late, something to that effect. But nothing like the complete four-hour rain delay washout there was last year. So that was good news there. Pre-race stuff was amazing as usual, and I got to be honest with you, the pace lap with the Black Hawk helicopters, I think the dang coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. First of all, we're in turn number two, so the field comes through one in alignment, and all of a sudden these two helicopters come out of nowhere and climb over the first turn stands, and we're going, what's going on? Is this good? Is this a good thing? And then they hover right over the field and lead them around for one of the pace laps. Really, really cool. Coolest thing I've ever seen at an event and a sporting event, concert, whatever. That was amazing. That brought chills to you, and the hairs in the back of your neck were standing up.
That looked cool on TV. I can't imagine being there.
Yeah, it was cool. Amazing. And a great way to salute the troops and a great way to get the race going. Flyover was amazing. It was a double flyover, end of the anthem and end of back home again in Indiana. They went back across in the from the back stretch to the front stretch. That was cool. Race, yeah, for the most part, pretty good. A little choppy at the beginning with the rain and some yellows. And then the guy everybody kind of thought in the back of their mind was going to win the thing, won the thing. And then we find out on Monday before the victory banquet that more drivers and their teams failed technical inspection. And they were penalized to the back of the field, including second place Marcus Ericsson, who I thought was going to win the thing with about 20 laps to go. But it was amazing. So that was on the track. Now, for Indianapolis, everybody is pacer crazy. Pacers this, Pacers that. Yes, the Fever are playing. Yes, Caitlin is there, but you got to realize it's a different way that they look at the Fever and Caitlin Clark than we do over here in her home state of Iowa. Yes, she is looked at as a superstar in Indianapolis, but she is not put on that pedestal above all else over there. It's they cover the Fever like they would for a professional team. And they know that Caitlin Clark is on the top rung of the Fever. But it's different, Mark, and I hope I'm getting that across to people. It's just a different situation. But even with Caitlin there, fever, it's a Pacer town right now. It's all about the blue and the gold and Zoom, baby.
Yeah, I visiting with you earlier, I was looking at it from a newspaper standpoint because that's the majority of my background. And when you have multiple things going on a certain day and trying to allocate space and play it right, what's above the fold, what's below the fold, what gets a couple pages inside. I mean, you had the fever, which I think ranks way behind the Pacers.
Right now, yes.
And the Indianapolis 500. Those two things alone. Earlier in the week, you had the owner of the Colts die.
Yep.
And multiple other things related to Indianapolis and whatnot. And I guess when you're in the newspaper, this is when your heart starts pumping. You know, the juices flow when it's so busy. You're not sure which way to look, but it was kind of the epicenter of the sports world in the United States over the weekend.
Yeah, and even last week, there were several journalists there that called it the day that the Colt owner Jim Irsay passed away. You had the penalties against Roger Penske and his subsequent firing of basically the top two people in his organization. And you had the Pacers getting ready for game one of the finals and the Fever doing their thing. And people were saying that was the biggest single day of sports stories in Indianapolis history.
Hmm.
And, you know, I don't live in Indianapolis, but I'll take their word for it.
Hard to top that.
It's hard to top that. I mean, there was everything going on. That was middle of last week. 500 is still a big thing, and man, and it did terrific numbers on television. That's good to see, and I think Fox did a pretty good job with it. And I was listening to the Mark Janes and the IMS Radio Network, of course, as everybody does at the racetrack, and they are amazing. And another one in the books, number 28.
Yeah, I think Pillow has really dominated the circuit this year on road courses per se, but gets an oval win, the biggest oval win there is out there, but so many other ancillary things that happen. Scott McLaughlin, you know, goes out on the pace lap.
Made a mistake.
That was a crazy thing. Made a mistake. I'm about done with drivers trying to do the double. Kyle Larson crashed in both that and the Coca-Cola 600, and, you know, only a handful of drivers have even attempted it, and Tony Stewart, the only one to succeed driving 1,100 miles. For what reason? I mean, I'm not as big a race fan as you, but just looking at it, I mean, what's the purpose?
Well, first of all,
endurance? Okay.
Well, it's publicity. I mean, yes, and you got to be of a certain ilk of a driver to try it. I mean, Tony Stewart has been successful in both open wheel and NASCAR. Mm. John Andretti was another one that did it. Robbie Gordon, you got to have background in both.
Kurt Busch
was kind of the one offset of that because he just wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to do it and got through the 500 fine. And then had trouble. He went out early at Charlotte that night. Tony Stewart's the only one to go through all 1,100. And if you recall or Google it, he had to have IVs as soon as he was out of the car. He couldn't get out of his stock car after the 600. It is tough. It is tough to do. Sounds like Larson is not going to try it again next year. He did say at the victory banquet last night that he wants to run Indianapolis again. He loves it. But it, like you were talking about, it's just right now, the way it is set up time-wise, everything's got to go right. And if it doesn't, then you are beyond stress situation. And with the rain delay for about a half hour, that even put things He probably would not have gotten done
yeah.
in time to get to Charlotte to start the race if he went the 500 miles at Indianapolis.
That's one of the biggest obstacles, really. At least, you know, it was last year, it was this year, perhaps. He did get to the Coca-Cola race, but that's the first obstacle you got to overcome. And then it's a crash, which happened. Again, for what reason? I'm not quite sure.
Well, it's not going to happen next year. I don't believe, just reading between the lines from what Kyle said afterwards, Kyle didn't make some, after further review and his radio transmission when Scott McLaughlin crashed and gave him a thumbs up as he went by, he didn't endear himself to a lot of IndyCar people in the last 12 hours. I like Kyle Larson, and I don't know what was going on right there, but yeah.
Racing stuff.
It's racing, and it's the whole thing of, you know, caught up in everything. But he ended up on the hook as well on Sunday with his car and got into a situation. They took a couple other guys out, but yeah. It was still a fun race, a good race. Could have been a great finish, but Siegel hit the wall right in front of us. Every wall banger was right in front of us. Marco at the beginning, and we could see that one over in turn number one from our vantage point. So we got to see that exciting action right there. And yeah, I don't know. If they move the Coke 600 to... It keeps being moved up by television, the time to start the race. And it used to be it was on Saturday night. You didn't have a problem in the old days. Now there is a problem, and there's still a lot of talk. NASCAR does not seem to be willing to move the Coca-Cola 600 off of Sunday night. So until that happens, I don't know how many more you're going to see do the double. Now, if it's Saturday night or if it's on... I don't think it's ever going to be on a Monday, but let's just say for purposes of our discussion, if it's ever on a Monday, I think you're going to see more try it. But right now, I think I agree with you. I don't think we're going to see any. Or very few.
Yeah, it's just so hard to do, and what's the end goal? It's not like you get $1 million if you do it.
You get
a lot
of money.
You get a badge of honor.
You get a bag of money if you win Indy. 319-366-1600. So there you go. Scott's weekend in the Circle City in a brief synopsis of 12 minutes right there. Fun city. Indy is so much fun. So much fun. Did not go downtown Sunday night because the Pacers were playing and it was crazy, crazy, crazy. And by the time you get out of there, get cleaned up, you're... Yeah, no. 319-366-1600. Before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, did want to update you on what's happening. College football, and we're still having the discussions about what is going to happen with the college football playoff. We know it's going to expand. Is it going to be a 14? Listen, it's going to be 16. We all know it's going to be 16. So why don't we just say it's going to be 16? But the SEC is having their spring meetings going on right now, and Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, talking earlier today. Brett McMurphy has done a really good job online of tracking this all down. Right now, with the new 16-team playoff, we're trying to come up with how the conferences, what their allocation is going to be. Why can't we just have, okay, 1 through 16, if you're good enough, by golly, you're in.
Exactly.
Oh, no. We have to have the Big Ten and the SEC wanting four teams apiece. Because
you get one.
We're better.
You're guaranteed one. You're champion. That's it. Otherwise, win more.
That's what the Big 12 and the ACC want. They want the automatic qualifiers to be the champions of the conferences, which they're going to get in anyway. So, I mean, it's basically half a dozen of one, six of the other. In this situation, more often than not, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to get four teams in. I mean, if there's 16 teams, tell me when there's going to be a year that, you know, Appalachian State, Boise State, and somebody else jump out. The ACC suddenly has five teams so that you don't get four out of the Big Ten or the SEC. More often than not, you're going to get four from those two conferences no matter what. So, I don't know. We're moving deck chairs on the Alito deck right now.
I mean, right now, the you cannot question that the Big Ten and SEC are the predominant football conferences in the country, especially with the way expansion has gone, the West Coast teams coming into the Big Ten. Maybe someday the ACC and the Big 12, which aren't far behind, will, you know, be similar in terms of success. But to me, this is all posturing by the ACC and the Big 12. They want a big piece of pie as they possibly can get, and I don't blame them for that. It's all talk. The bigger story for me is Greg Sankey saying the SEC is going to secede from the NCAA in 2028. That's, I mean, is that posturing?
Yes. If the CSC is not, or something like it is put together.
He wants to form another organization to do whatever, a multitude of things. But if that comes to happen, that's a pretty big deal. And I don't think the SEC could go it alone.
Well, what are they going to do? Have their own playoff?
Yeah.
If the SEC secedes from the NCAA and there is no outside third-party organization to oversee the whole mountain, I mean, it's like the LIV Tour right now trying to get into the majors. Am I wrong about this?
No. I mean, is that just for football? Look at baseball. The SEC gets 13 teams in the NCAA tournament. One of its teams is probably going to win the thing. What would happen to the NCAA baseball tournament if the SEC secedes? I mean, that's 3 years down the road. Who knows what will happen, but I thought that was a pretty damn interesting comment by Sankey.
It's posturing.
Yeah.
It's posturing in a big way. We'll see. The ACC and the Big 12 prefer the 5-11 format, the five conference champions. Now, that would be an at-large, plus the ACC, the Big 12, the SEC, and the Big 10, while the Big 10 and the SEC, they want a 4-4-2-2-1 with three at-large teams. That would be the highest-ranked group of six champion is your one in there. And only two automatic qualifiers from the ACC and the Big 12. Then, okay, let's go this route. What happens if you had the way the ACC came out this year? Who's your two automatic qualifiers when Miami loses that last game? They get passed by Clemson and SMU, but they are higher in the polls than those two teams.
Or what if the Big Ten, SEC have, you know, this is hard to imagine right now, but they don't have four teams among the top 16 in the playoff rankings. What if that happens? You can't just throw another number 23 Indiana in there.
And if the Big 12 has
Indiana.
Well, and if the Big 12 has a great year.
Yeah.
Where they have four or five teams that are, you know, one loss. It could happen.
I'm with you. 1 through 16, you know, four conference champions, automatic. Then
that's the way they're going to seed them. That's the way they're going to seed them. So why not have them that way picked? I don't know. It's good to talk football, though. Even controversial football. Or how we're going to divide the pie up at this particular time. Had a buddy of mine say, I can't wait for football. I said, well,
five games in, you can't wait for basketball.
Well, that could be. I said, well, sure, I'm looking forward to football, but not everyone's a White Sox fan. 319-366-1600 at 3:30. We're going to take a break, but before we do so, we're going to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. Brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. And you can see their entire menu online at emilshideaway.com. They feature a bar, a huge menu of comfort food, and stop on by at our classic local American restaurant. What we got?
TV viewership for the Indianapolis 500 bettered the Daytona 500 for only the third time in 30 years, but that comes with an asterisk. Daytona had a, as you remember, had a lengthy rain delay and finished on Monday this year, but nevertheless, the Indianapolis 500 drew about 7 to 8 million viewers this past weekend. College basketball news. Iowa has added a sixth player from the Drake program. He is Joey Mattione, the first recruit at Drake for Iowa coach Ben McCollum. Mattione is a 6'9", 215-pound forward from Overland Park, Kansas. He redshirted last season at Drake and will have 4 years of eligibility remaining. Also in college basketball, two potential NBA draft picks have announced they're returning to college. 6'9 Yaxel Lindenborg will indeed transfer from UAB to Michigan, and 6'11 big man Alex Condon will return to national champion Florida. Finally, Roy-Shawn Webb has been named the new boys basketball coach at Cedar Rapids Jefferson, succeeding Wes Bruns. Webb is a 2017 graduate of Jefferson. Played for the Jayhawks and also collegiately at Mount Mercy.
Good kid, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a very good hire by Chris Deem. He's at the building and lives in the West Side. I think is going to be he knows what he's having to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So not that West didn't or any before that, but Roy-Shawn, former point guard for the Jayhawks. So yet another guy that I covered who's now a coach. good to see that. Good to see that. Matt on the text line says, I think the SEC always wants their teams to represent the playoffs, and now the Big Ten is as big as they are and wants the same with the portal and NIL. ACC and the Big 12 are not too far off from those conferences. Give me the best 12 or 16 teams and leave it at that. Exactly.
Perfect.
Perfect. And if that happens to be two group of six teams, then so be it. I mean, how do you keep out, let's just say, just for argument purposes, let's say Boise goes 12-0 and say Appalachian State, Appy State goes 12-0. Do you keep them out? Do you keep Appy State out when they go 12-0?
Who'd they beat?
Well, that's going to be what people are going to ask, but 12-0 is 12-0.
Who'd they beat?
True. That's why Coach DeBoer at Alabama today was asked at this meeting. They're going to play two biggies next year. Wisconsin is one of them. The other one slips my mind right now. Said, you know what? Football scheduling plays a big part of this. This isn't basketball. We only have 12 games to get this done. We're going to play whoever we can play and wherever we can play them. Good answer by
different philosophies
for Kalen DeBoer. All right, so we're going to take a break, come back, talk a little baseball with you. I want to remind you that the 13th annual Shoot from the Heart Clay Shooting for the American Heart Association is coming up this Friday, May 30th, from 8 to 5 down in Riverside at the Hidden Hideaway Hunting area down there in Riverside. More details are available at their website, highlandhunting.com, and look for the Heart Clay Shoot over there and read up about it. All right, 3:34. We'll take a break. Come back more on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Got it right. Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming up right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And there's going to be mostly cloudy skies around for the day today. Temperatures are going to be in the mid to upper 60s, and there will be a few showers here and there, but any rain would be very light. Overnight, the clouds will be sticking around. There may be a few additional showers. Temperatures only drop into the mid 50s. Then tomorrow, the clouds will be sticking around once again. A couple of spotty showers here and there. Rain will be light. Temperatures still in the 60s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel is your place to eat, play, stay 24 hours a day. With 1,300 slot machines, 25 table games, bingo, entertainment, 3 dining venues, Starbucks, and a luxury hotel, it's your perfect place for an exciting night out or a relaxing staycation. It's Fight Night at Meskwaki. Throne MMA makes its debut at Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel on Saturday, June 21st at 7 p.m. Don't miss your chance to witness this intense night of fights and jaw-dropping knockouts. Tickets are on sale now and start at $45. Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel. Your moment, your place.
Must be 21 to attend. Please gamble responsibly. Void where prohibited.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar. And at Quickstar, their chicken, it is not ordinary. No ordinary chicken at your neighborhood Quickstar. They've got some great ways to enjoy the chicken. Chicken tenders, boneless wings, perfect for dipping in your favorite sauce. Plus, they're easy to grab on the go. And they also have terrific crispy chicken sandwiches. They are delicious. And if you want a little bit more, try the 8-piece fried chicken meal. Pick up chicken that's never ordinary. It's ready to eat for tonight's dinner, or you can buy it cold, sealed, fresh for tomorrow's lunch. They make life easier for you at your neighborhood Quickstar. And also, right now, you can pick up Nature's Touch milk. Skim 1%, 2%, or whole gallons for $1.99, limit 3. Nature's Touch American cheese singles, 12-ounce packages, $1.99, limit 4. And Kitchen Cravings, 5-ounce sirloin beef steaks, 2 for $4, limit 6. Stop on in at your neighborhood Quickstar.
Good Guys Auto Parts, Iowa City's only family-owned, family-run auto parts store, invites you to experience something gooder. Gooder prices, gooder brands, gooder warranty. Swing by to shop in person or give us a call for fast, free delivery straight to your door, garage, man cave, or she shed. Good Guys has been voted ugliest parts store 15 years straight. But hey, like your mom said, it's what's on the inside that counts. Good Guys Auto Parts, gooder than good, the goodest.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text STAPLE to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text STAPLE to 321-321. That's STAPLE to 321-321.
We are back, 3:38, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac with you. Spencer on Sports coming up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And tomorrow we're going to talk some fantasy baseball with you. We'll talk some college baseball as well with our guest from rotowire.com. And college baseball now, Mark, put to bed around here after the Big Ten tournament. Hawkeyes got to the semifinals, fell on Saturday afternoon to UCLA, and as we kind of both anticipated, that probably was not going to be good enough to get Rick Hiller's team into the regionals, despite a very good finish in the Big Ten regular season. Just not enough big-time RPI wins for the Hawkeyes this year to get them in the regionals.
No, it wasn't even close, and I don't know, Jason in Nebraska's listening, but Nebraska's a baseball state. Two times in a row, winning the Big Ten championship.
Volleyball, they're pretty good at that, too.
Yeah.
Pretty good at that, too.
Yeah, that was a nice run by Nebraska, beating Oregon and UCLA to win the championship. And I think four teams from the Big Ten, the three West Coast teams, and three of the West Coast teams, and Nebraska getting in. But Iowa had to win the thing. Just did not look good for the majority of the last 2 weeks. the regular season and the postseason at just something like, what, 2-10-1, something like that. It just wasn't good. So, nice season, not NCAA tournament worthy, though.
Yeah, the field was released yesterday by the NCAA, and as you talked about, it's a huge advantage for Nebraska. And they were playing well. I saw them earlier in the year against Iowa. I didn't think they were a particularly great team, but you get better as the year goes on. I get that. How big of an advantage is it, though, for the Huskers to have the Big Ten tournament in Omaha? Now, granted, it's not in Lincoln, but it might as well be in Lincoln because every other, as we watched for the entire week, every other Big Ten game there had maybe 200 to 500 people there. Then there were thousands upon thousands there when Nebraska baseball was playing. That's a big advantage. They got to win the games. They got to make the plays. They got to throw strikes. They got to hit the ball. I get it. But it's a pretty big advantage.
Would you advocate moving it around? I mean, the stadium in Omaha is built for basically the Big Ten tournament. And
the NCAA tournament.
It is somewhat of an advantage, no doubt. But when you have an eighth seed like Nebraska beating top seeds like Oregon and UCLA, was it just the crowd? Or did Nebraska get hot?
They got hot.
Up for debate. But, you know, what if the tournament was held in L.A.?
Dodger Stadium.
Penn State wouldn't like it a whole lot. How many Nebraska fans would travel to L.A.? I don't know about moving it around.
I think it has to be there. It's centrally.
They've done that with the basketball tournament.
Yep, it's centrally located. Yeah. Now it's centrally located. There aren't a ton of baseball games there. They need the dates to help, you know, make the park, you know, worthy of being built. Mm-hmm. Other than the NCAA College World Series, so yeah, I think it's going to stay there. And as long as it's there, if you're a Nebraska baseball fan, you got to be feeling pretty good because you're going to pack that thing. And it was packed for the championship game. Now, I think that Oregon knew that they were going to be in it. Yes, they knew they were probably going to host, and they ended up hosting. They're the only Big Ten team that is hosting. But like you said, you gotta tip your cap to the Cornhuskers, and I know that's hard for Iowans to say.
No, absolutely, and I don't think the venue is going to change. What needs to be changed immediately is the format. We've talked about it.
Oh, that was
it
terrible.
Needs to be done.
That
needs
was terrible. Awful. Hey, also not only Nebraska, but a tip of the cap to Penn State too, for doing what they did. Penn State is not a baseball school, but They get deep in that tournament more often than not. So
they were in the final last year, I think.
Yes, they were.
Yeah,
and made it to the semis this year. So hats off to Penn State baseball, but they are not in the NCAA regionals either. Oh, they peaked too early, says Jeff on the text line. Yeah, maybe.
When was that?
But the schedule helped. I mean, I think we all can say the schedule helped Iowa this
year. Well, yeah. You didn't beat a quad one team all year. Played only six or eight.
That Oregon State series was pretty pivotal. And to go 0-2-1 did not help things. Now, if Iowa went 3-0 in that series, we're talking about a whole different set of circumstances.
Didn't help losing 2 out of 3 at Washington either.
Did not help losing 2 out of 3 at Washington. Yeah. And what happened against Oregon with a lot of eyeballs on them did not help either. So I don't know if they peaked too early or not. 2757 says they should have all Big Ten conference tournaments in Vegas.
Okay.
Because everyone has a direct flight there. Well, they don't have a baseball field in Vegas right now. Pool play at home, Final Four in Omaha, says 4590.
Ooh.
So, have three pools, and the top three host and bring it. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Iowa would have hosted one, most likely.
Most likely, they would have hosted. Now, you're not going to... Economically, that makes sense. Because, again, we watched it. There, how many people were in the stands for the Iowa-Rutgers game, the Iowa-Indiana game, the Indiana-Rutgers game, the Penn State-USC game? A couple hundred?
Well, nobody for Indiana when it started at 9.
No, which is 10 in Indiana.
Parts of Indiana.
Most of Indiana.
Just about a sliver, yeah.
Most of Indiana. I don't think that's a horrible idea. And the Big Ten, you know, needs more money. So let's play them. Let's play them at the campus sites and then bring everybody in for the Final Four in Omaha. Huh? I don't think that's bad. 45-90, you might be onto something. Got to change the format, though. Got to change it. It was too simplistic. It was not fair. If you were the low seed, you had to win everything. And Penn State did, to their credit. They showed it could be done. And an 8 seed won, so maybe we don't know what the heck we're talking about.
If the Big Ten wants to call us, 366-1600.
Oh, let's talk a little MLB. We will tomorrow. We'll talk some college baseball coming up tomorrow as well. By the way, Isaac, do you like that? You like that format, play at the campus sites and then take the winners to Omaha?
I think it also, yes, I do like it. It also incentivizes the regular season, which I think a lot of college sports struggle with at times, of de-incentivizing performance in the regular season. So incentivizing it in a matter where you get some home revenue with hosted games, I think, is a good thing.
True.
Wouldn't that add a week to things?
They can fit another weekend.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Here's the problem. And 9843 in the text line says it perfectly. The Big Ten Network is going to have the final say. If a one big disadvantage to that plan is that you would have all the games being played at the same time. I mean, you'd have two or three games going on simultaneously. So that's not going to make the Big Ten Network very happy, because they had a whole week of showing games from 10 in the morning to 12 midnight in Omaha. And they didn't need to worry about, you know, showing, you know, best eateries of the Big Ten, East Lansing style, on a Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Come on, that's good stuff.
That is good stuff. I do enjoy watching the cooking things. You do, too.
I do.
But it does nothing for Isaac, I bet. You're not staying up watching the Big Ten Network and their tour of the bar and grill scene at each Big Ten city.
Can't say that I am.
Yeah, there you go. And that's why we're not going to get this plan. Thank you, 9843, for that. Major League Baseball right now. Don't look now. And I asked Mark this question during the break. Who is the team with the best record in Major League Baseball right now? And that would be, well, percentage-wise, Philadelphia. But win-wise, it's the Detroit Tigers at 35-20. 35 wins already for the Detroit Tigers and Mr. Scooble and others. And right now, still, the American League Central, we can crow about this a little bit, Mark. The only division in baseball with four teams above the 500 mark. The National League West has four teams at 500 or above. But if it wasn't for the lowly White Sox, the American League Central would be doing really well.
Detroit doesn't surprise me. I think the level of success it's had, and again, there's 100 and some odd games left in the season, but look at what Scooble did yesterday. Career best game, probably, a two-hitter. First career shutout, and reached 102 miles an hour, 103 miles an hour on his last pitch.
Yeah. He got better.
Going to make people forget Justin Verlander in Detroit before long, but
Jack Morris or forgot
Jack
about.
Morris. Detroit is really a good ball club. Philadelphia, I thought, would be the best team in that division. Atlanta got Acuna back, but it kind of fell off after reaching 500. But you're going to have the New York teams. You're going to have the Dodgers. You can't discount the Cubs. CBS Sports, Matt Snyder, a Cubs apologist, by the way, has the Cubs sixth. And I don't know that I'd have them any higher or lower right now. They did beat some very good teams early in the season, kind of feasting on teams that are not so good. Sorry about the Reds.
Sorry, Cyclone Tim.
But
Reds got one.
Colorado yesterday. Watching that parts of that game yesterday. Colorado. I mean,
how bad are the Rockies?
And bad luck. Chris Bryant, how much did you pay for him? And he hasn't played for how long? But that's just not a good team. You play who you schedule, and you got to give Cubs credit right now. A lot of players coming through right now. Tua, if you had odds on two of the top RBI men in the National League right now, would you have said Suzuki and PCA?
No. I would have said Kyle Tucker.
Who may be at the end of the year.
Kyle
Tucker.
That's
the kind of contribution the Cubs are getting.
Kyle Tucker has brought that team together. And, yeah, Crow Armstrong has done his thing. Right now, everybody in the Cubs is hitting. And everybody in the Cubs is pitching. And if you're a Cub fan, that's great. And everything is coming together. When McGuire hits two home runs in a game, you know things are going fairly well.
And not Mark.
Not Mark McGuire. Did read about that a little bit. But it's... I don't know. The Cardinals are three out right now. I just don't know if they've got enough firepower to stay with the Cubs. Milwaukee, I'm sorry, Spencer. I did pick Milwaukee. I apologize again. Cincinnati is just treading water, it seems. Pittsburgh, the White Sox have a chance to overtake the Pirates here this week in wins, not in standings.
I feel bad for Pittsburgh. They got Skeens. They got... you know, Mitch Keller, O'Neill Cruz hits the hardest hit ball in the StatCast era. Heck of a hitter. These guys are just, man, they don't have anything to look forward to.
Talk already, are they going to trade Skeens before the trade deadline?
Pittsburgh says no.
They say no. We'll see. 2757, to answer your weekly question, do the Blue Jays need to panic yet? No, but they're treading water. They're treading water rather nicely in the middle of the pack of the AL Central. Yankees are getting hot, and that's not good news to everybody else in the American League East at this time. They've opened it up to a 6-game lead right now over Tampa. So Yankees, yeah. They got the Dodgers this
Toronto,
weekend.
Toronto, at least you can say you're looking down on Baltimore.
True. Orioles started to pick it up, though. 19-34. I say only 14 games out. It's been done before, but it's going to take a pretty Herculean effort. And yet, Robin Lund, the former Iowa coach, is pitching coach for the Tigers now. Very good point about that. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back, wrap things up for you right after this.
When I wake up,
the best mornings
in the morning light
start with Wrangler.
I pull on my jeans and I feel all right.
Jeans, jackets, and shirts that get your day started on the right foot.
I pull my blue jeans on.
Good mornings make for better days.
I pull my blue jeans on.
Wrangler, for the ride of life.
The playoffs are in full swing, and you can get in on all the action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest game-changing moments to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JOEQ. That's J-O-E-Q to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Couple minutes remaining here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. And Cubs-Rockies coming up for you tonight. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. That is from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And tomorrow, as I mentioned, we'll talk some fantasy baseball. We'll get some college baseball talk in with our guest from rotowire.com. No show on Friday this week, so I think we're going to have a topic, a Thursday topic, Mark, which, you know, just to let everybody know, Thursday topic for this week.
Okay.
I don't know, 5137. He says the Cub pitchers are not all pitching well. That's true. Their bullpen needs some help. Bullpen, and they're going to make a move before the trade deadline to help that bullpen. Trust me. But those starter, hey, Colin Ray's ERA is under two.
Caleb Thielbar is not the answer?
Bullpen needs some help. They do need some help. I would agree with you on that, but the starting pitching right now is coming through pretty well for the Chicago Cubs.
Tie-in looked good yesterday. Looks like...
Now, it's the Rockies.
Yeah, I mean, when you have Kyle Farmer on the lineup, it's, you know, tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, we need to check our, we should have this as a segment each week. What are the ticket prices for the Rocky White Sox series this week?
I can tell you what the ticket prices for the Fever in the Sky are.
Without Caitlin Clark?
Without Caitlin Clark, Front Office Sports reporting they're going to down from $86 a ticket to $25.
Aha.
And that's the scheduled to be the fourth game Caitlin Clark will sit out because of injury. June 7th.
Okay.
You mean Angel Reese can't carry the game? The league? And,
oh, okay. I don't believe that is the case. We will update you on the Rocky White Sox ticket situation coming up tomorrow because it's just too precious not to talk about.
They're paying you to get
They're paying you, maybe, to go to Coors Field over the 4th of July weekend to see the Cubs, or the Cubs, the White Sox and the Rockies. Wow. All right. Good discussions here today. We'll be back at it tomorrow. And as I mentioned, we'll talk some fantasy baseball, early fantasy football questions, because people are starting to put those things together. So if you have an early question, you can get it to us coming up tomorrow. Have a good night.
You got it. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class here in Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN.
Now is the perfect time to start on your next success. An accredited state university, University of Maryland Global Campus, offers all